Hey, this is Greg Sanders. Thanks for listening today. It's our hope that this message will help you connect to God, grow in His Word, and serve the kingdom in a greater capacity. Thanks for listening and enjoy today's message.
Hey, but I love what we're talking about. And I want you guys to look at Hebrews 4:16 with me real quick. And I want you to look at it just a little bit differently because it just kind of, something shined a light on me yesterday. And if you think about this, well, before we do that, let's just read that first sentence together. Just the first part of it, okay? Can we do that? So, let us come. Oh, yeah, I like that. Let's do that again. So, let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. Now, what came to mind yesterday is thinking about it. If you were invited to go to a king, or you were going to come to the king's court, whatever, to bring your complaints, to bring your requests, to do all that, I think all of us in this room, if we did that, if we went to England, if there was a king, we would be kind of a little bit of nervous, wouldn't we? Be a little intimidating, wouldn't it? It would be. Sometimes, especially back in the old days, you might not ever get to go see the king. And if he did, it was a privilege and an honor. But what this says is we can come boldly to the throne of God's grace. Check that out. That's just like busting through the door. Imagine you got all of these people out there ready to get in to see the king, and you're like, I can come boldly. And you kind of start moving your way through the people who's like, boom, open those doors. And you bust in. I want everybody to say, I'm busting in. And that's what that means. We can bust in into the presence of God because He has given us that privilege. Isn't that amazing? That is amazing to me, and that we have that. But it says right there, our gracious God. You know what He is? He's a loving, He's a gracious God, and He's made that privilege to us. We can just bust through those doors. Man, check that out. Y'all got that at home? Did y'all say that with me at home? And but look at that. The next sentence, it says, there you will receive His mercy and you will find grace to help us when we need it most. Man, and I know that I need it every day. And I know that when I pray, I'm busting through those doors. And look at it that way. It's really neat. But today we're going to look at something. We're going to look at something here that I think that will help you in your prayer life. I know that it has helped me in my prayer life over the years. And but we're going to go back in time and we're going to look at when Jesus was in the garden. Come on, now check that out. When Jesus was in the garden. Now all four gospels says something about it. John doesn't say very much about it, but we'll hit on that one thing that he says. But we're going to really focus this morning on what Luke and what Matthew said, what they wrote and what they noticed and wrote down about Jesus in the garden. Because I believe in this, that it will help us in our prayer life if we can grasp that. One, we can just bust on through. Everybody say, just bust on through. Joe, say it with me. Bust on through. Oh, I love Joe. Okay, well, I want you guys to read this with me. I've got some notes in the handout if you want to follow along. To make it really easy, what's up in yellow and bold, you can write it in your handout. Because we always teach the kids, if we write it, it's going to help us to what? To remember. So let's do that. So let's look at this. In Luke 22:39-46, it says, then accompanied by the disciples, Jesus left the upstairs room and went as usual to the Mount of Olives. There he told them, pray that you will not give in to what? Temptation. He walked away about a stone throws away. Now, if I had a stone, I could throw it, and I might be able to hit Jonathan back there. And that's about how far he went. Think about that. It wasn't too far, but he went far enough, about a stone throw away from his disciples. And it says, and it goes on to say, Father, if you are willing, please take this cup of suffering away from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine. Then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. He prayed more fervently. Check that out right there. He prayed more fervently, intently, passionately. And he was in such agony of spirit that his sweat fell to the ground like great drops of blood. Now you're probably thinking that, thinking, well, it's just a hot night. That's all it was. It was just a hot night. Jesus was just in the middle of summer. No, it's the same about temperature it is right here over in Israel. I checked it the other day. But also, too, you can read in the gospel, it says, well, when Peter was in the court, you know, listening to Jesus getting all beat up, what were they doing out in the court? They had a bonfire going. They had a fire going. They were keeping warm. So it wasn't that. It wasn't that it was a hot summer's night. It wasn't that at all. It's that Jesus was fervently praying. He was busting through those doors, and he was praying passionately to his heavenly Father. Verse 45, it says, at last he stood up again and returned to the disciples, only to find them doing what? Asleep. Come on. Exhausted from grief. Wow, we're going to come back to that. Why are you sleeping, he asked them. Get up and pray so that you will not give in temptations. The thing is here, we're going to come back and look at those areas that were highlighted, because I think that we can pull from some of these right here to help us in our everyday prayer life. But I like what Matthew's account brings something else to the picture. And it says in Matthew 26, 38, it says, he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. And he says, stay here and keep watch. And verse 41, it says, for the spirit is willing, but what is weak? What is weak? It's our body. Now, I want us to take a moment, and I want us to look. Imagine if you were right there with the disciples and you were looking into the garden, and you were looking in at Jesus, what do you think you would see? Would you see God the Son, or you see just a man praying to his heavenly Father? I think a lot of times when we're reading the Gospels, those three or so years that Jesus was ministering, we think of him only as God the Son, Emmanuel, God with us. But Jesus was just a man. And we see that right here in the garden at this moment in time. Jesus was just a man. He was facing hardship. He was facing things that he could not handle on his own. But he knew where to turn to. He knew that he could just bust through those doors and boldly come to his gracious Father. Man, check that out. But one thing is he knew. One thing that he knew is that his Father was full of grace and love. Come on, let's pray. Lord God, we thank you so much that this account has left us so much. And I just pray, Lord, that you could just help me to deliver this message. I pray, God, that all the words that come from my voice, Lord, will be your words, God, not mine, not my will. God, not my what I want to say, God, but you what you want to say to each and every person in this room and at home today, Lord. Open our hearts and help us, Lord, to know how we can handle the situations that we face, just life itself, Lord. We ask you, Lord, to do this in the name of Jesus. Amen. So I titled this His Way, His Will. And it was really funny. Well, let me back up a little bit. A long time ago, I was like, man, I want to put a license plate on my car saying the way. And so I finally did that, and I want everybody to know out there, man, come on, follow me. I'll follow you, and I'll show you the way to our Heavenly Father. But one day, I went to Starbucks, and I got in that long Starbucks line. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Not today's long Starbucks lines. They're even worse than what they were before. But the one in Jacksonville, it was backed up. You know how it gets backed up all the way back to the freeway? Well, I was sitting in line, and all of a sudden, I hear this bam, bam, bam on the window. I'm like, was I asleep? Did the car start moving in front of me? And this lady's like, bam, bam, bam. And I'm like, oh my gosh, what's going on here? And so I rolled down my window, and she says, man, I love your license plate. I wanted that license plate, but I got mine that says His Way. And I'm like, wow, come on. Because that is. That's what it needs to be. He is the way, the truth, and the life. But we need to look at it's His way, not our way, what we want in life. And that's why Jesus said right there in the garden, when he was facing the most difficult thing that he could face, he's like, Father, let your will be done, not mine. He wanted His way, His Father's way to be done. And I think if we can grasp that in our life, I think we can change a lot of things in our life. The directions that we're going, the decisions that we're making, the things of life that we just face. If we begin to say, God, I want your way, your will, what you want for me, Instead of being saying what I want all the time. What I want all the time. Yes, he says you can ask and you can bring your request to him. But we also too have to turn our request into his will. What is his will? You know, I could say, well, who went and tried to win the $1 billion lottery? You know? Was that his will or our way? Was it his way or our way to take care of our lives? Man, come on. But Jesus knew what he was facing that day. Yet he said, I want your will to be done, not mine. Man, let's look at one thing right here that will help us. And the first thing that I had bolded in that scripture, it says, he went as usual. Well, the thing is, if you look at John's account of his time in the garden, that's all that he says. John just writes in there that Jesus went as normal to that place to pray, to that garden to pray. You see, it was his prayer closet. It was his prayer room. He just didn't go there just one time, but he went there several times. And if you read the Gospels, you will find that Jesus always went out and prayed alone to his Heavenly Father. And we read that in Matthew 6:6a, it says, but when you go into your room, shut the door and pray to your Heavenly Father who is unseen. And that's how we should be going to our Heavenly Father. We should find that place that we can get alone. We don't have to worry about anybody listening to us, anybody hearing us, anybody wondering what we're praying about. But so you can open up and come to Him and pray passionately to your Heavenly Father. Because that's what he wants. He wants you to spill your beans, so to say. He doesn't want you to hold back anything. And it's hard to do that around your wife or your husband or your kids. No, we can pray. I'm not saying we don't do that. But if you really want to get really close and really intimate and really spill all the beans, do you want to spill it in front of everybody? Or do you want to spill it into the one who is unseen that does hear and love you? We have to remember, we can go to him boldly about anything. Whether you're feeling and carrying all of the shame, guilt, all of the concerns of this world, we can go to him. He wants you to go to him. It doesn't matter what you face. But Jesus taught us right here to be devoted to prayer. That's what he taught us. In the garden, a place that he went a lot, to be devoted in prayer. Jesus knew where to go. He knew that praying to his Heavenly Father was not an obligation. Nope. It was not a ritual, like some people think and do. It is not a burden of our time. It's not a burden. It's a place where we need to set aside time to where there is no time. And that's hard to do. How can you do that, Dave, where there is no time? You need to set yourself up in a place where time is not an issue so you can spill your beans, you can pour out your heart, you can come to him boldly without worrying about time. It's hard to do that when you got to leave out the door in 10 minutes. You're like, oh, I got to pray. Well, maybe you can do it on the way to work. But you're still limited in time. Find a place. And that's what Jesus taught us throughout the gospel. He would find a place. Where sometimes was he interrupted? Yes, he was. And we read about that. But he wasn't doing it because of his own, but he was doing it because of the love of those who are around him, because he had compassion on us. But you know what? The man Jesus knew the pain and the agony. He knew the shame of the cross was much more than he could bear. What are we carrying in our lives? What are we holding inside of us that we just can't bear? We just can't handle it no more. We just can't. But Jesus knew, the man Jesus knew, because at that moment, he was just a man. It was not God. God could have called, he didn't have to do it. But he chose to do it. Man, just the thought of that to Jesus was too much to handle alone. What are you trying to handle alone in your life? What are you doing? What are we trying to do? What decisions are we trying to make? What temptations are we trying to get out of our life? And you're trying to do it alone. You see, Jesus modeled the example to us to be devoted in prayer, to come to our God boldly, to bring our requests to Him. But you see, I think there was more to it than just the pain and the agony and the shame of the cross. Because at that moment, he knew that Jesus knew at that moment that he was going to bear the sins of the world. He knew at that moment that he was going to be totally separated from his Father. I think to me, that was more than anything else, that at that moment, when all of the sins of the world came upon me, upon him, he knew that separation was going to be there. You see, that's what sin does to us. Why do you think Jesus was telling his disciples, pray so you will not fall into temptation. Pray so you won't be separated from me and from the Father. You see, that's what sin does. It begins to separate us. Just like Pastor was saying, those strongholds in our life, not only are they destroying our life and our families, but they're separating us from our Heavenly Father, who does not want to be separated from. He wants you to come to Him, and you still can come to Him no matter what is going on in your life and in your heart. No matter whatever you're facing, you can still come to Him, and you can still bust through those doors because He's your gracious Heavenly Father, full of grace. You know, we don't know exactly what Jesus was thinking, what was going on in his mind, but he knew that his Heavenly Father was full of grace. You see, Matthew records, and he says, and he told them, my soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Wow. My soul is crushed. How many of you in here or at home have ever been to that point in your life you just feel crushed because of the weight of the world, or the things that are happening in your life, the things that you didn't even choose, but other people chose for you? Man. You see, when we pour out our hearts to God, we pray bold prayers. And you know what? There's something that begins to happen when we pray bold prayers. And we see that in verse 43. Now look at this. It says right here, when he began to pray fervently to the Lord, he was praying so intently that his sweat was like big drops of blood. It wasn't a hot night, remember. It was a cold night. But he was praying so hard. Then all of a sudden, something happened here that we read in verse 43. It says, then an angel from heaven appeared and strengthened him. Do you think that strength was for him to bear the cross? No. And why I say that is because look what the next verse says. It says here in the next verse, I don't have it in front of me. Yeah, I do, right here. It says, he prayed more fervently. You see, when something happens when we begin to pray, and we begin to boldly pray, the angels from heaven came down and strengthened him, not just to bear the cross, but to pray harder. Man, check that out. That's what that was, because that's what it says right there. The next thing, you see, God will supernaturally help you to pray even harder. Man. So at last, the next verse, it says in verse 45, then he stood up again. You see, something we need to get from Jesus in the garden is God gives you the strength to stand up after you've prayed boldly to your Heavenly Father. Then you can do it. Luke 45, it says that Jesus found his followers asleep because of their grief. Because of their grief. You have to remember, what was their grief? What were they facing? You see, they were facing the grief as well too. Jesus was facing grief to the point it was crushing his spirit. But what grief were they facing? Well, Jesus already spent the night with them and began to tell them all things that you can look at from John 14 to 17 that he said, I must go. Their friend, their Jesus, their Messiah, the Son of God was going to leave them. They were crushed in spirit as well. They were in grief because he was about to leave them. He was telling them that, but he's saying, I'm going to send you somebody. I'm going to send you somebody to help when I leave. I'm going to send you somebody that will be with you each and every day of your life because I got to go. And that is the Counselor, our Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who will live and dwell within each inside of us. You see, that was unknown back then. It wasn't for every person. But now it's for every person on the face of this earth that reaches out and says, Jesus is Lord, and confesses their sins and turn away from their evil things and allow His Spirit to come inside of them. You see, now Jesus was able, after He prayed boldly, after He prayed passionately, after He prayed, He was able then, after He was supernaturally touched by an angel from heaven, He was able to stand up. Because God gives you the strength to do that. Verse 41, it says, for the spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Now, Paul wrote about this. It's a battle. Just like Pastor was saying, there's a battle going on. And it's not just a physical battle. It's not like what we're hearing today in our nation and all the things. It's a spiritual battle. And we have to realize, even in our nation, it's not just a physical battle, but there's a spiritual battle going on in our nation. It's been going on for decades, and the enemy thinks he's getting a foothold each and every time. But the thing is that he forgets is that the Lord Jesus will come back one day, and the Lord Jesus will throw him away, and he will be put away, and his time is doomed, and it will be ended. But until that time comes, we have to realize it's a battle. It's a battle between our flesh and our human side, or as the Bible says, our sinful nature. Paul writes it in Galatians 5, 16 and 17. He says, so I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They just don't work together. It just doesn't happen. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. You see, that's why it's so important to say, Lord, it's your will. It's your way. His way. Not my way. It's His way. You see, the last point that I want to end up here today is the Spirit gives us the power to do His will. The Spirit gives us that power. We cannot do it on our own. We cannot handle it on our own. We were never intended to handle it all on our own. Jesus knew that in the garden. Why do you think when he was facing what was the most brutal way to die at that time, he knew where he had to go. And he had to go and spend time with his Heavenly Father. He knew the only way to face such decision and hardship was by seeking God's will through prayer. You see, it's at those times when we face such hardships, the Holy Spirit empowers you. It's when those times when the angels of heaven come down and they touch Jesus, the angels of heaven will come down and touch you. I've never heard that before. Well, yeah, it talks about that because it says in Hebrews 1:14, it says, therefore angels are only servants, Spirit sent to care for people who inherit salvation. We have our guardian angels. We don't know what they do, how they do, when they do it, why. Well, we know why, because of God's love for us. But we have to realize that He's there, that no matter what we face, but what does it take us today to be able to say, Lord, I want your will to be done. And I know everybody in this room is facing things in their life. Everybody. There's not one person that's not. So how are we handling that? What are we saying with that? How do we handle our financial dilemmas that we have in our life? How do we handle our marriage problems that come into our life? How do we handle it? Do we try to do it on our own? Or do we reach out to our Heavenly Father and boldly push through those doors and come to Him? Because He loves you, and He wants you to spill out your beans to Him. How do we handle that? How do we handle when our children are turning away from God, or they're turning to homosexuality, or they're turning to whatever they're turning to? Because it's sad to say, in the 20 years I've been doing kids ministry, over 20 years, I've seen more kids turn away from God than I've seen turn to God. And that's sad. It's no different than you adults. It's no different than what Pastor deals with. He deals with the people and the baggage that comes back in. But if we would grasp a hold of this, that no matter who you are, how are we handling it? How do we handle the jobs that come our way? Are we saying, God, I want your will to be done? Maybe it looks great. Maybe the money looks great, but God is saying, no, I've got other plans for you. You know how many times he said that to me since I've owned Turfmaster? How many times I wanted to leave the business and pursue other things in my life, but God says, no, I have other plans for you. It's not my way. It's his way. You know how many times I wanted to try to figure it out on my own? And I realized that it's not my way. Quit being all about me, Dave. And why don't you listen to what God has to say? And during this past year, it's been probably one of the toughest years that I've ever faced spiritually. Everything else on the outside looked wonderful. Because I was dealing with God, I want your way, your will, your plans to be done, not mine. And that's what we have to ask ourselves. And so what did I do? I kept praying more fervently. I kept praying more boldly. I kept praying more passionately. And I probably cried, and I've shared this with the kids next door, I probably cried more last year than I have in a couple of decades. And it was all because of the spiritual things, the battles, the things going on in my life and in my heart. Because all I want is God. What do you want from me? And he opened my eyes to something, and he will open your eyes too. No matter what you're facing, Thomas, no matter what decisions that you're going for, he will. And so what he showed me, he says, just like the servant with Elisha, the servant was petrified when he saw the armies that were surrounding him, and Elijah said, let me show you what you don't see. Let me show you the army of the heavenly, our heavenly army that is there for us. And I begin to pray that. God, help me to see. Help me to see like that servant did. Because all I am, God, I'm just your servant. I'm just your servant trying to accomplish your will, God. And I just want to hear you sometimes. Don't you just want to hear him sometimes? Don't you just want him to say, hey, just like I'm talking to you. Don't you want to hear that sometimes? But I think if it was that way, it would be too easy. It'd be too easy. Yeah, does sometimes he speak to us like that? Yes. Does sometimes he speak to us in dreams? Yes, he does. Does the most of the time he speaks to us in his words? Yes, he does. And we have to say, God, open my eyes. Let me see. What are your plans? What is your will? What do you want from me? Maybe you're feeling less of yourself. Maybe even here today, maybe you're at home because of what you're facing, you have suicidal thoughts. I've had them. I've had them all throughout my life. That doesn't mean I act them out. But I did when I was 18 years old. I didn't know God. I didn't know his plans. I didn't know his way. We all face things. We face tough questions and situations in our life. But yet, it's not our will to be done. It's his. It's when we finally say, God, it's your plan, it's your way, not mine. It takes firm trust in God to accept his plans when they don't seem reasonable. They don't seem, well, that don't make sense. But it said, God, we need to say, God, I'm yours. Show me the way. Realize that he is your source. It's there in his presence that we find what we need when we need it the most. Man, can we pray? Let's pray together today. Because I know that each and every one of us, I'm not going to say me, God knows that each and every one of us are facing things that we should not face alone. Whether you're a teenager, an adult, we don't need to face them alone. We need to get to that place in our life and say, God, show me your will. Open my eyes so I can see what your plans are for me. Someone here today needs something to happen in the spiritual realm. Something needs to break in the spiritual realm over your life today. Whether you hear it at home, and that only happens. It only happens that I have seen in all of my years as being a follower of Jesus. It only happens when we pursue Him. It only happens when we release it all to God and say, God, show me your way. Strengthen me supernaturally, just like you did Jesus, God. Touch me so I can pray even harder. Touch me, God, that I can handle the hardships and the agony, or maybe even the shame because of what you have done and you need to make it right. Someone here listening today is saying, my soul is crushed with grief. Take it away from me, God. But I want your will to be done. If that's you here today, you just need something supernaturally to be broken off of your life. I want you just to stand where you are. Just make that stand to God and say, God, I need a supernatural encounter with you. Just stand right where you are to make that declaration to God that you're ready to go beyond where you are. Just lift up your hands and begin to cry out to Him and begin to pray to Him, because He is the only one that can do it. He is the only one that can do it. And maybe you're here today and you're crushed with grief, or you're listening at home and you're just crushed with grief. God wants you to know that He is there for you, and He is watching over you, and that He is helping you. But He wants you to come to Him more. Don't hold back. Come to Him more. Spend more time with Him. Listen more intently to what He has to say to you. If you're here today, you're at home, and you're just crushed with grief, stand today. Stand today. Maybe it's your loved ones that are not saved. Maybe it's something just inside of you that you just feel crushed. Maybe it's emotional thoughts. No matter what it is, we can come to Him and bust through those doors and allow Him to touch you supernaturally, to strengthen you and to help you. God, I come to you for our brothers and sisters here today and are at home. Maybe they're standing at home, God. You can see them because they're standing and they're lifting their hands to you saying, God, I need you more. God, show me your plan. God, open my eyes so that your servant may see what you're doing. Lord, bless them today and help them to pray more fervently. Help them to pray more boldly, God, until whatever it is broken or healed, or those doors have been opened, or those doors have been closed. And I feel in my spirit that there's some that God wants you just to do more, and you're holding back. He wants you to do more. He wants you to step out more and just to trust Him. Just to trust Him even more. Because He's trying to lead you in the right direction, in the right way, in the right path. So Lord Jesus, have your way. Have your way, God, in each and every one of us today. Bless them today, God, as we seek you and we come to your gracious throne in boldness. Because you have allowed us to. Amen. Amen. Thank you for joining us today. Thank you for putting up with me. I hope it was painless. I hope it was encouraging, because I get encouraged with God. But sometimes it just takes us to push through to find that. Amen.
Hello, this is Greg Sanders, pastor of the Assembly here in Cabot. I want to say thanks for listening today. If you are ever in the Cabot area, we'd love to have you join us for a service. For service times, check out our webpage at theassemblycabot.com. Thanks again for listening. We hope you have a great day, and God bless.